Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see you. I'd like to focus tonight my message on two verses from the passage that was just read, verses 8 and 9. If we could perhaps just read them again together. The words of Christ here, verse 8. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own traditions. Can we pray, please? Lord, will you please bless the hearing of your word, the preaching of your word, and the glory and the honor of your truth. May it be made manifest to us all. Please, Lord, bless this time we are hearing your word preached. For Christ's sake, amen. We are doing a series of sermons in our evening services because we only have the faithful few in the evenings, so we have special messages for you. And we have a series of sermons dealing with questions that people in our church are struggling with. People have been putting questions in the box at the back, and I've been trying to answer those questions from the pulpit. And tonight I would like to speak about something that so many people nowadays struggle to understand, and that is the question of tradition. Sounds like Fiddler on the Roof. Tradition. Tradition, I find in every church you'll get people who lean in the direction of tradition and people that lean in the opposite direction. The question of tradition. What is tradition? Is it a bad thing? In fact, why does Jesus so often in the Gospels speak boldly against tradition? I mean, look at the text again. Here Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. And he tells them that their traditions have pushed aside the very words of God. Look at verse 8. You have let go of the commandments of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Verse 9. He says, you have a fine way of setting aside the commandments of God in order to observe your own traditions. You see, in this passage, Jesus is making what's known as a polarization. He's setting in opposition two particular things, tradition on one side and the word of God on the other. And this, of course, forces us to ask the question, why does he say this? Why does he polarize tradition against the word of God here? Is tradition something bad? Should we avoid tradition? And I know quite a lot of people in church that seem to think that way. They'll read a passage like the one we've just read, and they'll say, see, doesn't this clearly teach us that tradition is bad? It opposes the Bible? And what they'll say is, let's throw out tradition. Let's be spontaneous in our churches. Let's act on the spur of the moment. Tradition restricts us. Let's just throw away tradition. Look at the words of Jesus. He didn't like tradition. Maybe you feel that way in the light of what we're reading tonight. Maybe you are one of those people who has had a bad experience of very traditional people. Anyone here that's really felt restricted by tradition? It's sort of like a wet blanket that's thrown over you, or it's like a manipulating power. You mustn't do that, you mustn't say that, because you might tread on people's toes. Well, I've had experiences like that where tradition has sort of confined me and restricted me. But let's ask the question again. Is tradition a bad thing? In the light of our reading tonight, should we as a church reject all forms of tradition and simply say, let's go with the flow, let's preach the Bible and throw off restraint? I believe that we need to ask this question. It's a very good question that I was given. Even the future of our own little church has to wrestle with this question. Okay. Tradition. Let's start at the very beginning. Definition. What is tradition? It's no good considering tradition bad if you can't really tell me what tradition actually means. And this is the problem with many people. Very often, people will react to something not really knowing what they're reacting to. Many people react to certain words like tradition with an emotional reaction, or they've got prejudices or presuppositions, and therefore they don't really know what to think of it. But oh, tradition, I don't like that. And Jesus knocked the Pharisees for tradition, so we don't want any tradition in our church. What is tradition? Well, the word in the Bible, the New Testament Greek word for tradition, is the word paradosis. Paradosis. And it's used a number of times in the New Testament. And what it means, quite literally, is this. It means to pass on. Para, it's what they call a compound word. Para means to pass, to communicate, and para to dos means to give. Paradosis means to give on. A good picture of what paradosis means is a relay baton. Any of you sports fans ever watch a relay? The fellow runs around the thing, and then he hands the baton to the next man, and he runs with it, and he comes around and he hands it. And the passing on of the baton we could call paradosis. It's the passing on. Tradition simply means, now listen, the passing on of ideas, values, ways of behavior from one generation to the next. Paradosis. Tradition means that which people have taught me. Tradition is the influence that people have had over me. Tradition is peer pressure sometimes. It's living a way that other people expect me to live. Tradition is social obligation. Now, once you know that definition, I'm sure you realize that to a very large extent, every one of us is very much influenced by tradition. Just the way you dress, the way you speak in company, the particular tastes you have, all of these things are things that have been passed on to you. So don't tell me you're not interested in tradition and you've got no influence under tradition. Tradition, paradosis, simply means the handing down and the receiving of ideas, practices, values from one generation to another. Do you know your very language is a tradition? It's something that was taught to you from another generation. So in the light of this, surely nobody can tell me tonight that tradition per se is a bad thing. Where would you be without tradition? In fact, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. This might be worth looking up yourself. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Let me read it. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we have passed on to you. Hold on firm to the teachings that have been passed on to you. Now, we all know that translations are just human things. The NIV translates this word wrongly. The word teachings in that verse you have in front of you, that word teachings is the word paradosis in the Greek. The very same word that Jesus is using here when he criticizes the Pharisees. In other words, Paul is telling the Thessalonians here, hold fast to your traditions. Wow, is that contradicting something? We mustn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Traditions are not necessarily bad. It's only because of tradition, things that are handed down from previous generations, that we have anything of our own. We don't reinvent the wheel every generation. Things are taught to us and handed down to us. Paradosis, tradition. Well, if that's the case, what is it that Jesus is attacking in the passage we're reading tonight? Why is he against the tradition of the Pharisees in our scripture tonight? Why? Well, the answer's pretty obvious when you think about it. Jesus here is attacking the Pharisees because they were putting their traditions above the Word of God. They were putting their traditions before the Bible. And this was their problem. Tradition is not a bad thing. But if you make a tradition an authority that competes with the scriptures itself, that tradition then becomes bad. And here's the problem I think we have in our churches today. We have to face the fact that even in evangelical churches, very often you can get people who are so committed and so stuck on their habits and their traditions and their customs that they will impose those traditions with the same authority that the Bible has. Last Sunday, I had my Sunday off and I went to a strict Baptist church. Now, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I have the theology of the strict Baptists. I read their confession and I agree with every word of it. But I could never belong to that church because although they believe beautiful truth, they're so tradition-bound. You know, the ladies have to wear dark clothes and they all have to wear hats and the men must wear ties. And you're not allowed to stand up for the hymns until the last blast of the organ. I keep standing up at the wrong time. But they're so restricted by traditions that have nothing to do with the truth that they're preaching. And they are, I believe, hardening the gospel because of these traditions that have nothing to do with the Bible. Who says you've got to stand up at the last blast of the organ? In fact, I'll give you another example of how we can hold tradition sometimes with the wrong authority. I went to a neighboring church about 6 years ago now, and it's not a church you can think of, so don't worry. And I was asked to preach, but I was also asked to give the children's talk. And I brought my guitar along to sing a little song to the children. And when I picked up my guitar to start playing, a couple at the back of the church got up very loudly. They made sure their chairs made noise, got up and stormed out the church. It was a very conservative church, by the way, very strict and conservative. And of course I was disturbed, but at the end of the service, I spoke to the pastor who was there in the service, and I said, did I offend someone by taking the guitar? And he said, yes, I'm afraid you did. And I'm afraid you offended me as well. I won't mention this fellow's name, but anyway, I said, why? And he said, look, we do not believe that guitars are acceptable in church. Guitars, church, they don't go. Now, what he was basically saying was not a biblical argument. It was a traditional preference he had. He didn't feel comfortable with it. His church didn't feel comfortable with this. But it had no biblical ground. Do you know the Bible speaks about string instruments? Okay, 10 strings, not 6, but stringed instruments. We've sometimes been to be very, very careful because traditions can very often be put on a level with church authority. And that is what Jesus is complaining about here. Not the traditions of the Jews. Some of those traditions were beautiful and good. But to make those traditions equal in authority to Scripture itself is blasphemous. We cannot use tradition in that way. And this is the evil Jesus is attacking in our passage tonight. Tradition's not a bad thing. In fact, tradition is something very, very necessary. How can you know anything without people passing on information to you? But we do need to be very careful about giving tradition an authority that it simply is not supposed to have. As Protestants, it's the Bible alone that makes us behave the way we do in our churches. I mean, as I look around me, you've all got different cultures and traditions here. How many different cultures are there? But our cultures are secondary to the authority of Scripture. And in the light of this, we need to make sure that our traditions are totally submitted to the Word of God. And believe me, there's going to be times when that's going to be difficult. Let me give you a couple of examples how sometimes it's going to be a challenge for you to put your traditions aside, no matter how uncomfortable that makes you feel, and go with God's Word. 1 Corinthians 1:27. God here, it says, chooses, listen, weak things, foolish things, foolish, lowly things. God, the Bible says, sometimes chooses things that our human traditions would reject. And if God accepts the weak and the foolish and the lowly, so must we. Even if our traditions and our cultures do not. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, we're told that God has chosen things that are a stumbling block to the Jewish traditional culture. A stumbling block and foolishness to the Greek traditional culture. God often tells us in his word to love and accept people that our traditions and our cultures may not accept. Sometimes we're told in the Bible to behave in ways that are not very comfortable in the society we live in. We're told to be heavenly minded as Christians, and very often our traditions have got to do with our worldly behavior and the way we do things on earth. I think you get my point here. Often our traditional way of living is going to be at odds with the Word of God. Scripture will often contradict our traditions and our culture and our norm. But when it comes to deciding which we will submit to, we must always, as Christians, put God's Word first. Okay, so here's the challenge. Let's face it, so much of our daily life is dictated to by our traditions, by the expectations of other people, by our own desires to fit in and please people and say the right things and please our peers. And many times, you probably know this already, the Bible is going to speak to you and tell you to do things that could pull you out of your traditional norm and do things that are not accepted by the status quo. So this is the challenge tonight. We mustn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Tradition is not a bad thing. Tradition keeps us together. Tradition helps us to understand one another. I know what you're doing when you put your hand out to me because, you know, tradition's taught me how to interact. Tradition helps us to be the people we are. If it wasn't for tradition, you would have no education. You'd have no training, no value system. Everything that makes you you has been handed down from previous generations. Thank God for tradition. But whenever the Bible puts you in a position where you need to make a choice between obeying Scripture or offending man-made expectations of traditions, you must always put God first. So, the answer to the person that wrote this question to me is this. Tradition is not a bad thing. We need tradition. Listen, if we could have a free-for-all in this church, it would be confusing, wouldn't it? I mean, some of you would be leaving half an hour ago, and some people would just be coming in now, and some people would be singing. We've got to have some norm. We've got to have some control over the way we meet together. Traditions help us to understand each other. We know what's acceptable and what's not. And some traditions that come from our church history are beautiful traditions. Let's use them. Let's take joy in them. But be very, very careful of making a god, an idol, of your chosen way of life. Be very, very careful of equating your traditional taste with what people should be doing, which only the Bible can tell you to do. Everything you are has been handed down to you, paradosis. Your very genetic code has been handed down to you. Your education, your culture, your value system. Don't knock tradition. But never put tradition above God's word. And as I said, there's going to be times when God's going to expect you to step out of the norm in order to do things that are biblical at the very variance of your culture. We've got to have the courage to do that. So I'm not one of those people that says I'm all for a free-for-all. I do believe there has to be a measure of order and tradition in every church. I've been in churches where people run wild, let their hair down and jump around. It doesn't work. We must have a certain amount of tradition in our church. But tradition has to keep its rightful place, subservient to the scriptures. If the scriptures say something, that's the last word. There's nothing wrong with breaking traditions. Jesus did all the time, didn't he? Think about Jesus in John chapter 4. 3 times he breaks major traditions. Firstly, he walks directly into a Samaritan village. Samaritans and Jews didn't get on together. He broke a strong Jewish tradition to not associate with the people of Samaria. He broke another tradition when he spoke not only to a Samaritan, but to a woman alone at a well. That was breaking a massive taboo. And then he got the villagers together of the Samaritan village, Gentiles, and he preached the gospel to them, breaking, shattering the Jewish tradition of the uniqueness of their holy race. 3 times in that chapter, he shatters his traditions, and you know what? People got saved. Let's not be bullied by tradition. Let's not have a wet blanket over our church where we're too scared to sort of say boo or ba because people might not like it. But at the same time, we've got to be very careful and be brave enough to do the right thing, even if it offends the traditional. Love your tradition. Let's keep the church ordered. But at the same time, let's not dishonor God. Let's obey him first. Let's pray. Oh, dear Lord, we want to serve you in this church as we ought. We realize there are so many ideas and opinions. There are so many tastes in our religious society. God, there are so many people that would tell us what we should and what we shouldn't be doing. Please, may this church be guided by Scripture alone. May Scripture dictate how we worship, when we worship, who we share our worship with. May Scripture be our sole authority, sola scriptura. But God, we do want to thank you for our culture, our wonderful traditions in the church, and we pray we will honor and respect our forefathers and all that's gone before us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's close with our final hymn.